Gospel of John. And today we come to John chapter 8. We begin our study in verse 46. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus has been in a heated argument with the religious rulers, and that's been going on for the last few chapters. And let's pick up our study in verse 41, where Jesus says to them, "You do your deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin, or which of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Boy, no one but the sinless Son of Almighty God would dare to say to his sworn enemies, 'Show me anything that I've ever done that was wrong.' Come on, come up with one thing." Jesus said that to his enemies. And that's because there wasn't one single defect in Jesus' character. His actions, his words, his motives were all 100% pure. And yet these leaders wouldn't believe in him. 47. He continues, "He who is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. He who is of God hears God's word," said Jesus. People who belong to God will hear and will want to obey God's word. People are not saved because they force themselves to be where the Holy Bible is taught. They are where the Holy Bible is taught because they are saved. 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well that you are a Samaritan and have a devil?" Notice, the Jews could not respond to the wisdom with which Christ spoke. So they insulted him. They called him a Samaritan, which was a racial slur. And they also said he was demon-possessed. 49. Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me." Jesus didn't teach the words of a demon, and he wasn't out of his mind either. His only goal was to speak the words which would honor God the Father. So these Jews were not dishonoring Christ because he was a demon-possessed lunatic, as they suggested. They dishonored him because he was honoring God. And they are heaping up all sorts of evidence against themselves for the day of judgment as a result. 50. "And I seek not my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges." He says, "I seek not my own glory." Jesus had accused them of dishonoring him. But he wants to make it clear that that doesn't mean as he was seeking honor for himself. It bothers Christ that they are dishonoring him, because in the process they are also dishonoring the Father. 50. "And I seek not my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges." Jesus doesn't seek honor for himself. God the Father seeks honor for God the Son. And God the Father will judge all those who will not give God the Son the honor that he deserves. 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. I'm not talking about physical death. Good Christians die every single day. This is talking about eternal death. People who receive Christ won't suffer in hell ever, not even a little, is what he is saying. 52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death? Now they think Christ is insane for sure and demon-possessed. Abraham and all the great Old Testament prophets died, and you, Jesus, say that if anyone obeys your word, they won't die ever? 53. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Well, the answer is yes, he is greater than all of those. And then they ask, what do you make yourself? Abraham and the prophets were holy men who lived by faith. But they never delivered anyone from death. They couldn't even deliver themselves from death. And you claim to be able to deliver people from death. Who do you think you are, Jesus? 54. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. And that's true. The Jews thought that Jesus was just talking big, trying to draw attention to himself, trying to impress people by claiming great things for himself. Jesus says, I'm not. And he adds, it wouldn't do any good anyway, it would be a waste of time. And it really is when people do that. It is a waste of time. He's absolutely right. When people try to draw attention to themselves, it usually backfires. People see right through it and they end up looking down on the person who boasts of themselves rather than respecting them. 54 again, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. The God that these Jews said they loved and served is the very God that is honoring Christ. And they don't know it. They don't get it. They will get it when they are dead. But then it's going to be too late. 55, yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. They wanted Christ to deny that he was equal with the Father. He wouldn't do it. If he did, then he'd be a liar just like them. 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. You know, they like to talk about their connection to Abraham, so Jesus says, well, speaking of Abraham, Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day. Abraham looked forward to the day that I would come into the world. He knew it would happen, and he longed to see it, and he saw it by faith. And now, look what they do to Jesus' words. Then said the Jews unto him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Well, now, Abraham lived and died 2,000 years before Christ. Jesus isn't yet 50 years old. He's only 33, maybe. And they said, you've seen Abraham? Well, they're putting words in his mouth, which so often happens with those who do not listen. When people don't listen, then they will often put words in the speaker's mouth because they never listened to what the guy said in the first place. And that's what's happening here. They didn't listen to Jesus. They didn't pay attention to what he said, so they put words in his mouth. He didn't say that Abraham actually saw him. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He meant Abraham by faith saw my day. In other words, Abraham longed for and lived for the coming of the Redeemer. 58. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. It would have been remarkable if Jesus had said, before Abraham was, I was. That would have been remarkable because Abraham, like I said, lived and died 2,000 years before Christ. That would have been remarkable. Before Abraham was, I was. But he didn't say that because saying I was could be taken to mean that there was a time when he came into existence, when Jesus was not. It could be taken that way. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He spoke of himself in the present tense. He is the eternal present tense God. Before Abraham was, I am. In other words, he's saying, I've always been. And by the way, in case you didn't know, that little phrase, I am, is one of God's names for himself. When he spoke to Moses at the burning bush, Moses said, Who shall I say is sending me to Egypt? And God replied, I am who I am. You will tell them, I am sent me. Jesus is saying, I am the eternal God. That's what he's saying. The next time you hear some preacher, like Kenneth Copeland, who a while back I heard said, Jesus never claimed to be God. Are you out of your mind? He never claimed to be God? Well, what do you think he's doing here? They knew, the religious leaders knew he was claiming to be God. Verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They knew exactly what Jesus was claiming to be. He claimed to be God, and the Jews knew it. That's why they tried to stone him to death. You know, nobody should say Jesus was a good man. He just wasn't God. That doesn't make any sense. Jesus was just a good man. He's not God. Jesus claimed to be God. He is either a madman, lunatic, insane person, blasphemer, who went around claiming that he was God and he wasn't, or he was God, but there's no in between. I mean, anybody who walks around and claims to be Almighty God is either Almighty God or a basket case. One or the other. Jesus is God. Chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. By telling us that he was blind from birth, God is emphasizing the absolute hopelessness of this situation. The bad news is this man has never seen a thing in his entire life. The good news is Jesus is about to change that. 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They didn't know who did it, but the disciples were absolutely sure that someone in the family sinned, and that God was getting them back by causing this man to be born blind. They were sure of that. 3. Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents. All sickness, all suffering, all death, including this man's blindness, has come into the world as a result of sin in the world. However, it's not true that all sickness and suffering are a result of the sufferer's personal sin. That's simply not true. Bad things happen in a sin-infested world. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. 3. Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. God allowed this man to be born blind so that God could display his power by healing him. 4. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. And that refers to the end of this life. A person only has so many minutes, so many days, so many years to do for the Lord. And it was the same with Jesus. He had 3 short years of public ministry, and he was determined to use every second of it wisely. But it's true for all of us. Life goes by so fast. And when it's over, our opportunity to serve God in this life is over as well. It's so important to squeeze all the living for Christ and all the doing for Christ out of every second that we have for as long as we are here. 5. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Now, that's quite a remarkable claim, isn't it? The Lord's presence in the world was a light. His miracles, his teaching, his holiness showed a spiritually dark world the right way to be. And now we are to be the light of the world. In Christ, God wants us to do the same thing for the world of our day that Jesus did for the world of his day. That is, allow Jesus to live through us. 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Please do not ask me. I love questions. I really do. I love questions. I like to try to answer questions from Scripture. But don't ask me why Jesus made mud out of saliva and then plastered it on the blind guy's eyes. I don't have a clue. I have no idea. And I can tell you something else, nobody else does. We can speculate, but God doesn't tell us why, so it doesn't pay. I do know this. Jesus didn't have to make mud and put it on his eyes in order to heal him. I do know that for sure. Verse 7. And he said unto him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. This pool was outside the walls of Jerusalem. So wherever he was, it was a pretty good walk. Of course, none of this makes sense. Scientifically, it makes no sense at all. It doesn't make sense that Jesus made saliva and made mud out of it and smeared it on the guy's eyes. That doesn't make sense scientifically. It doesn't make sense that he would have to walk through town with the mud on his eyes. It doesn't make sense that he'd have to go to this pool and wash. And it doesn't make sense that he was cured of his blindness. None of this makes sense scientifically, except for the fact that whatever Jesus says is correct, and should be done, even if it doesn't make sense to us. And that is the lesson of this verse, in my mind. The important thing is that we obey the word of God, even when it doesn't make sense to us. Because if this man doesn't obey, then he is not healed. 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him who was blind, said, is not this he who sat and begged? Blind people evidently usually had a particular place where they sat and begged. This man evidently had his place too. He was like a city landmark. People recognized him as the man who sat and begged. 9. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. It's like, you guys are having a debate, why don't you just ask me? The man tries to put an end to the debate by saying, I'm the one who used to be blind. But he had to keep saying it, as we will see, because people evidently did not believe him. Well, you realize how arrogant that is? When someone says, "This is what I believe," it is very arrogant for somebody else to say, "No, you don't believe that. You believe this other thing." Well, everybody has a right to define themselves. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to define this guy, and he's already given the definitive answer. No, this is who I am. Verse 10. "Therefore said they unto him, How were your eyes opened?" Jesus' miracles often got people talking and asking questions, and it's happening right here again. How was this done? How were your eyes opened? So, of course, this man is given a golden opportunity to witness to the goodness and the power of Christ. Whenever something good happens to us, it is God giving us an opportunity to testify to his goodness. It is God giving us an opportunity to speak of him. 11. He answered and said, "A man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received sight." Now notice they said, how can you see? You were blind, how can you see? He had an opportunity to testify concerning Jesus Christ, and that's exactly what he did. And what he said was absolutely perfect. This is perfect. You know why it's so good? It's because he stuck to the simple facts. This is the way I was. This is what Jesus did to me. This is what happened. He stuck to the facts. That is the way to witness for Christ. Stick to the facts. Some people think they need to be Bible scholars before they can witness to Christ. Some people think they need to take a class on how to share your faith before they can witness effectively for Christ. That's not true. It's very simple. Tell people what Jesus did for you. Tell them that he saved you from hell, how he did it. Tell them that. That's what you have to do. That's how you witness for Christ. It's that simple. 12. Then said they unto him, "Where is he?" He said, "I know not." After he witnessed for Christ, others wanted to know where Jesus was. If you tell others what Jesus did for you, there will be some who will be interested in learning more. These people were interested. 13. They brought to the Pharisees him who aforetime was blind. So the people who were talking to this fella who had been blind, they were all excited. They were excited about Jesus, and they were excited about this miracle. So they bring this man to the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They probably thought that the religious leaders would be excited also. They never thought that the religious rulers would resent this man's healings. I doubt that they ever thought that that would be their reaction. 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Uh-oh. There's a little hint of what's to come. Here we go again. The religious leaders were still upset that Jesus healed the man who couldn't walk for 38 years on the Sabbath. Now Christ healed this blind man on the Sabbath. They're really going to be upset. That's what they focus on. Verse 15. And then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, "He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see." I do see. Very simple. Now, he didn't mention Jesus by name, but I'm sure by this time everybody knew Christ did the healing. And then look at 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man who's a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. Some concluded that Jesus was not from God. Some concluded that he was from God. Others said, no, he can't be from God. However, their conclusion that he was not from God was dead wrong, because they used their own made-up criteria, their own made-up standards to judge Christ, not God's standards. They used their man-made standards. to judge whether Christ was right with God or not, rather than the Word of God. You know, everyone should be open to correction, because none of us are perfect. Just make sure the one correcting can back what they say with Scripture, because if they can't, their correction is meaningless. They're just giving you their opinion, and it doesn't amount to anything. We'll pick it up right here, next time. Until then, so long, everyone.